own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. Let us first sing Psalter 169, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. Thy streams exhaustless bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. All stanzas of Psalter 169.
Thank you. wish to read to you from God's holy word, that of the book of Isaiah, the first chapter. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour. Your strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. The silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the families of Evert and Leon Vanee, and also Elida van Driesten, whose grandmother passed away in the Netherlands yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thy servant did say, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And thou coverest thyself with light as with a garment. And thou stretchest out the heavens as a curtain. And thou livest in that light, and we in the darkness. Not because we have not been created in that light, but because we have sinned ourselves out of that light, so that our eyes, they are so darkened in this day, when we have set aside a day according to thy commands, that we may acknowledge thee, for all thy gifts and blessings poured out upon us day by day. And then we must beseech thee in the beginning of this day, that thou may grant us eyes to see what we do not see, that thou may give light about us, and that thou may grant light within us, that we may behold who and what we are in thy holy sight. Because thou art not only our creator, but thou art also the sustainer and the provider for this whole universe. The waters, they go up to the mountains and they go down into the valleys. And thou makest the springs to break forth so that thou may give food to all the beasts of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. And Lord, then what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Because thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. And thou hast given him dominion over all the beasts of the field. Lord, that thou may grant us also humble hearts, because we have departed from thee so far, because that we do not behold thee as thou truly art, because we do not behold ourselves in our deep fall. For thy servant did say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it is the life of each and every one of us that we come short of that glory, created to worship thee and to glorify thee. But we do not see it, we do not understand it, and we are by nature dead in trespasses and in sins. so that service of Thee to which we have been called and to which we are bound as Thy creatures, we have forsaken it. And we have provoked Thee unto Thy face in the light of all Thy blessings, so that we are worthy to receive no more blessings, so that we are worthy to be cast away from Thee, so that we are worthy also to receive no more callings, that we are worthy to receive no more chastisements. For Thou sayest in Thy word, and that if Thou be without chastisement, and that ye are bastards and not sons, then we are worthy to be left by Thee. And yet Thy goodness that is extended unto us moment by moment, and then not only in those blessings which our eyes can by times behold, but also in those blessings that are beyond our knowledge, and that Thou carest for our bodies, and that Thou carest for the upholding of this universe. And men do not understand it. And that Thou hast created the world, and that Thou dost uphold it until that day wherein the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then we think that we have to uphold it, but it lies in Thy hand, O men. So deeply fallen and yet so proud and so wicked. O Lord, grant us then in this day a humble heart before Thee that we cannot produce from ourselves for everything from our side that is upside down. Wilt Thou look upon us then and grant us in this day a little meditation, a little consideration, that we may meditate upon Thee, upon Thy goodness, and that it may, as Thy servant did say, knowest Thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth Thee to repentance. That it may bring us in that place, and where we cannot miss Thee anymore, and that we may desire to walk according to all Thy commandments, and that we may desire to return into Thy blessed communion, that we could not miss it, as that greatest and that most blessed portion and that greatest gift that we can receive from Thee. That is a people that will be filled with thanksgiving. They are filled with the knowledge of their misery. And Thou dost give them a little understanding of their wretchedness, of their guilt, of the depth of their fall, that Thou mayest fill them also with that knowledge of Thy deliverance, and that Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is now that people. And they shall begin in this world to be filled with thanksgiving. They shall be brought to say, what is Thy servant that Thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And when Thou sayest that he shall eat at my table continually, I will provide for him, not only for his life, but I will bring him into my communion. And there he shall magnify and adore my name to all eternity. For blessings for this life and for blessings for another life, O Lord. Our eyes are so closed. We are so blind. They need to be opened for the first time. They need to be opened by renewal. Oh, we beseech it of Thee then in this day. Remember all those that are afflicted. All those that are sick. Maybe those that are not able to come up among us in this morning hour. Remember those who listen by church telephone. Remember all those that mourn. Thou knowest where they are, and now are added also unto them in our midst. Those that mourn the loss of a beloved grandmother in the Netherlands. O Lord, that Thou may give also that comfort unto them that they can only receive from Thee. But oh, wilt Thou grant then all together that missing of Thee, for we miss one another in this world. And Thou givest it to be so that there still may be love in this world amidst all the hatred and amidst all the murder. And then Thou givest still common grace and that there may be love to fathers, mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, children and grandchildren. Oh, that it may be also felt amongst one another, and may we be brought amongst Thy true children. May Thou give love also amongst Thy people. A forgiving of one another. And a laying of one another before the throne of grace. Remember us in this day. When we may be gathered around Thy holy word and everlasting testimony for this hour. Oh, we beseech Thee once again for Thy help, which alone can come from above. Lord, that Thou may endue us with a fresh measure of Thine anointing oil of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive matter which we have not in ourself, that we may be able to bring forth new and old things out of Thy law in this hour, and that Thy children may be blessed and supplied for, and that there may be food not only upon our tables, but that Thou would set the table also for Thy church in the midst of all their enemies. Remember each and every one, young and old, and wilt Thou humble us for all Thy gifts, also for what Thou givest us in the way of Thy word, of Thy testimony of our own school, and of all of Thy blessings poured upon us above so many in this world, and that Thou bringest in and harvest, and that Thou grantest us a food and nourishment for our bodies, a little measure of health and of strength, oh, that we may not use it in the service of sin, but wilt Thou break our hearts and cause us to walk according to Thy holy word. Grant us then help in this hour for the bringing and for the hearing of Thy word, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful in Thy holy sight. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 402, stanzas 3 through 6. The heavens with clouds He covers. He sends the cheering rain. The slopes of all the mountains He fills with grass and grain. To beast and bird His goodness, and their daily food supplies. He cares for all His creatures, attentive to their cries. There is only one collection today for the Church General Fund, unless otherwise noted. Psalter 402, stanzas 3 through 6. congregation, the words of our text for this Thanksgiving Day service can be found in the chapter that was read to you out of the prophet Isaiah, in the first chapter, and out of the third verse, Isaiah chapter 1, the third verse. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. So far the words of our text, and we see in it Israel shamed by the ox and the ass. First, an accusation of base ingratitude. Second, a vain attempts at gratitude. And last, the essential element of gratitude. Israel shamed by the ox and the ass. First, an accusation of base ingratitude. Second, vain attempts at gratitude. And third, the essential element of gratitude. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. That is, congregation, not a strange appeal. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Because if we go back to the book of Deuteronomy, then we can find that Moses has prophesied of the corruption of the children of Israel after that he would die. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Thus Isaiah, he refers once again to that appeal of God's servant Moses. That is, he calls the heaven to witness, and he calls the earth to witness. That is, that he calls the inanimate creation, the stars and the trees and the mountains, to take witness. And he calls the animals that they will also see, that they will also hear. As if he says, the creation of God, they are more likely to hear my words than my own people. And that is to listen to what? That is to listen to the Lord himself. The Lord, he says, hath spoken. How is it then, congregation, with us? Could we better this morning call to the heavens? Could we better this morning call to the earth that they may listen? Then that we should call unto you that you may hear. That is what the servant of the Lord Isaiah, he did by the Spirit of the Lord in his days. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. So he takes that people and he refers them to the animals. He takes that people and he refers them to the beasts of the field. that the beasts would give to them some instruction, boys and girls. And then we have also seen that in the week that is gone by, because you are also directed in this week to what? Do you remember? You were directed to the ants, weren't you? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Oh, then we are to learn something, even by those little creatures. And now the Lord is pointing in this day to other animals, that is, to the oxen and to the asses. He would say to the cows and to the horses and to the sheep and to the goats and to the dogs, that the Lord says that we need to go unto them to learn something from them. Thus, that is very humbling. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. And then he chooses two of those animals, which we would say they are the dullest of all of the creatures. That is, the ox and the ass. And yet he says, even those of the creatures, they know their master's crib. That is, they know who feeds them. They know who sustains them. They know who provides for them. And because they know who provides for them, then they are also bowing their necks under their yoke. Then they are serving them. Then they are pulling for them. And then they are putting all their effort for the purposes of their own master. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Thus he places Israel below the ox. He places Israel below the ass. He says, you are less sensible than the dullest of the beasts of the field. You are more brutish than an ox. You are more foolish than an ass. Oh, what is it that he says they do not know, they do not consider? He says, you do not consider your master's crib. You do not consider who feeds you. You do not consider who provides for you, who sustains you, who gives you everything that is necessary for your life. That is, we say in our first place, a base ingratitude. He says, you are worse than the animals. They obey the law of instinct. I can call to the heavens and to the earth. They also obey the law of God, that is, the laws of nature, in which the Lord has commanded them to go round and round and to fulfill His will. And they obey. But my people, they do not know. My people, they do not consider. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Two things. He says, I have nourished children, and I have brought up children. Nourishment, what is necessary? Well, first, children, you know that that food that has to come in. So that food that has first to come on our tables, doesn't it? There is so much that has to happen, right? You say, who does that? Mother does that. She puts that on the table. Yes, but where will mother get that from? Yes, father does that. Because, Father, he makes that money to bring that food home, or he is out in the field. And, oh, will you go a little further? Who has to give it to us children? You know, I can ask the little ones. You know, you say the Lord. Yes, the Lord, he has to give the sunshine, he has to give the rain, and just in the right times and just in the right amounts, so that that food may come on our table. And then what? And then that food is on the table, and what do? You fold your hands, and you close your eyes, and what do you ask for? You say, Lord, wilt thou bless this food? Yes, that you need in addition, because when that food is there, then we can eat it. But when we eat it, then also so much more has to happen. Just ask your science teacher. Everything that has to happen inside of you before that food that will become energy and that you are able to do your work. And now what does the Lord say? He says, I have nourished. That is what I have done. That is from the very beginning, even unto the very end, I have done it all. I have nourished you. And that nourishment that is actually typical. Thus, it is typical of every blessing that the Lord does give to us in our life. The provisions that the Lord is making for us day by day, a few of them we see, most of them we do not see, because we know, you may just ask sometimes those parents, they have children, and there is something wrong. And when there is something wrong in our body, then they begin to learn. And then we begin to learn how important this is in our body, and that is in our body, and we say, I never knew it. And I have taken that all for granted. How complex that everything is in this world. And then we creatures, we take everything so for granted. And thus the Lord says, I've nourished. I've nourished. I have provided everything. The Lord also done that for us. In the season that has gone by, to give to us our health, our strength, to give to us all of our provision. There is another part. He says, I have brought up. You know what that is, fathers and mothers? You have not only to nourish, you have not only to give your children food, but you have to bring them up. Well, that is much more. Thus, you have to give them instruction. You have to teach them. And so the Lord, he has not only given to us that nourishment and all the blessings for this life, but children, the Lord has provided for you schooling. The Lord has given to us that we may gather week by week in his house, that we may be instructed out of his word. Why? That we do not perish only from lack of natural food, but that our soul that will not perish. I have nourished and brought up children. Children. Thus he says, I have done it as a father will do it to his children. That is a very special relation. And he says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Thus the Lord takes an example in his word of a rebellious son or of a rebellious daughter. They have received all their life tender care from their father, from their mother. And when it has come, they have come to the years of discretion, then they have rebelled. Then they have turned their back. Then they have gone their own way. Young people, that is the most base ingratitude. That is to rebel against our father, to rebel against our mother. Because the Lord, when He will speak to His people, then He will, as it were, take from our life that worst case that we can find in this world, where it is the most base ingratitude that we can find in this world. The Lord says it is the ingratitude of a son or of a daughter that is turned against his father or against his mother. Solomon says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Whoso curseth father or mother," he says, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Thus there is a curse. For that base ingratitude of a son or of a daughter against the love of his father and of his mother. Why? Because the Lord says it is as the height of ingratitude. Because that is an ingratitude which is a sin against the love of father and mother. That is against the self-denial of father and mother. That is against that most precious relationship that the Lord is giving in this world, that bond of blood, the affection with which that father and that mother have cared for that child, even from before that child was born into this world. Samuel said to Saul, "Rebellion that is as witchcraft, that rebellion that is against all that love, all that care." He says that rebellion of a son or of a daughter is worse than an animal. It is worse than the brute beast, because man, he has been created so far above that brute beast, and we do not find this in the beasts. Man was created in the image of God. "Why should ye be stricken anymore?" Stricken? What is that? Did the Lord also strike his people? He did. He struck them. He smote them. Why? Well, that was in the way of discipline. That is also part of that bringing up, isn't it? Fathers and mothers, you do that too. Then you strike them. We do not say that you should abuse them. No, be careful, be tender with your children. They are not a beast. No, they are a child. And yet you discipline your children. And we do not read here that this striking that is represented as a curse, because there is much striking that is represented as a curse. That is when the Lord will strike to the destruction, when the Lord will destroy through striking. But we do not read that here. Here we read just the opposite. The Lord says, "Why should ye be stricken any more?" He says, "I have stricken you." Do you believe that, boys and girls, that to be struck, maybe to be struck with a word, or maybe to be struck also sometimes, even in a physical way, do you believe that that is a blessing? Oh, it is a blessing if it may be profitable to you. Congregation, did the Lord strike us also in this past season? Maybe we have been stricken. Maybe we have been stricken in our business. Maybe we have been stricken in our field. Maybe that rain that did not come in time for us. Maybe that rain that was too much for us and just in the wrong time. Or it can be we have been stricken in our family. It can be we have been stricken in our body. Oh, there are so many ways wherein it is possible that the Lord is striking us. But we ask you, was that striking then in this past season a blessing? Oh, when the Lord has struck you, then did you see something of the vanity of this world? When the Lord has struck you, did you see something of the emptiness? When the Lord has struck you, did your treasure depart from this world? That your treasure was set in heaven? King Solomon, he has spoken many proverbs. We can read, he says, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider, because God has set the one over against the other, and then for a special purpose. And what is that purpose? He says, to the end that men should find nothing after him. What is that purpose? That man should experience the reality of his life. That there is nothing here. Is that not a blessing? And when the Lord has struck us in this past season, that we have found nothing after us, is that not a blessing? And then we have not only heard it with our ears, but when we experience and when we feel it in our own heart and in our own life, that here we have no continuing city. Is that not a blessing? And when we may be brought thereby, that we may seek one that is to come. That was not so with Israel. The Lord says, "I have stricken you." But he says, "Why should I do it anymore? Why would ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." That is, parents like children. When you strike them, oh, you try this way, you try that way, and nothing helps. Oh, then there is in you that you say, "Why? Why should I continue? From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate. As overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." The Lord says, "I have smitten you. And I have done it over and over and over until you are almost destroyed. You are just like a cottage in a vineyard. And just like when that vineyard that is coming to the end of its harvest. And then that cottage that is standing there and it is deserted. Then there is no more use for it. It is everything just desolate. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. The Lord says, there is only one reason you still exist. Because there is still a few people among you, a little remnant. And my eye that is upon that remnant. You know, children, what Abraham said to the Lord when he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If there still be 50 righteous or 40, 30, or if there just be 10, if there just be a few. And then the Lord says, if there just be 10 people there who fear my name, I will not destroy it. And now the Lord says by Isaiah, he says, if it were not but that there were a few people among you that still fear me in uprightness, you would be completely destroyed. The world that is standing on the pillars of the church, and when that church is no longer, and then that world also will be no longer. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. They do not know, they do not consider. Don't they live in a land of light? They are not as the Philistines. That is a people that have been instructed. That is a people that have my word. What does that mean? That my people, they do not know. Oh, the Lord says they do know. They do know. But it is just as if they do not know. And why not? Because my people do not consider. It is a people who are not ignorant. It is a people who have been taught. It is a people that have been instructed. But it is a people who do not consider. They are going to perish for want of meditation. And they are going to perish for the want, for the lack of paying attention. Congregation, how much do we know? When we ask the smallest one, then they also know where all our blessings come from. Right, children? You are taught that when you are very young. Oh, they know. And we know. We can teach you much today, I think, about Thanksgiving Day, because we all know. But we are not here just to learn something new. But we are also here to be brought to consideration. Consideration. Oh, we know so much. But do we now also consider it? Because who is accused of this? That is, the Lord is accusing his own people. Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. We say that is base ingratitude. Oh, but don't that people, don't they come to church? Don't they gather before, don't they pray to the Lord? That does not affect us, because we come and we pray. But congregation, we see also in our second thought, vain attempts at gratitude. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. Ye rulers of Sodom, ye people of Gomorrah. O congregation, what an address. That is what he is calling the office bearers in the church. That is what he is calling the people of Israel. He is calling them rulers of Sodom. He is calling them the people of Gomorrah. He says, you are acting like the heathens. Oh, must the Lord say that to us also in this day because of our lack of consideration of those things that we know? Isaiah says, hear the word of the Lord. Listen, take heed to it, consider it, pay attention to it, and give ear to the law of our God. Having ears, hear ye. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Shocking. They are the ordinances of the Lord. They are the sacrifices of the Lord. Who has commanded, we have heard that, who has commanded that those sacrifices had to be brought? Who has commanded that those burnt offerings should be presented before the face of the Lord in his tabernacle, in his temple? Who has required this of his people? You say that is Moses. Moses, that was the servant of the Lord. And was that Moses' command? No, that was the command of the Lord himself. Should we not do that then? But now the Lord says, I am full of it. He says, it is enough. I delight not in it. He says, I have not commanded this of you. What does that mean? Is that then the New Testament? That time when those sacrifices, they have all been fulfilled already. And then those sacrifices, they were not necessary to be offered anymore. It is not yet the New Testament. Those sacrifices are not yet altogether fulfilled. And yet the Lord says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn eating, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. The Lord says, I am tired of your religion. I am tired of your sacrifices. I am tired of your offerings. I am tired of your gatherings together. I am tired even of your prayers. Your lifting up of your hands unto me. Not only is it not going to do anything, but it is to me an abomination. An abomination. I am weary with it. I'm weary. I am tired of it. And I cannot bear it anymore. I've taken care of you, he says. I've taken care of you just like children. I've nourished you. And you think that you are going to acknowledge me for my nourishment with an offering. I've blessed you. And you think that you are going to thank me by lifting up your hands in a thanksgiving prayer. I've stricken you. And you think that you are going to appease me by bringing a sacrifice. Oh, I have punished you. And you think you are going to make it good by bringing to me an oblation. But he says, I cannot receive it out of your hands. Why not? What is that all to me? What is that all to me if the most important thing is missing? I do not accuse you of not having enough religion. I do not accuse you of not having enough prayers. I do not accuse you of not bringing enough sacrifices. I do not accuse you of missing the form of thanksgiving. There is plenty of this. There is so much of this. And yet, I will not hear you. Why not? Because the most essential aspect of gratitude is not there. What is it? We're going to sing first. 111. 3 and 4. O Lord, my God, how manifold thy wondrous works which I behold, and all thy loving gracious thought thou hast bestowed on men. To count thy mercies I have sought, but boundless is their span. 3 and 4 of Psalter 111. wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. What is it? It is, congregation, that part of gratitude that the Lord says to his people that is now missing. After I have nourished you, after I have brought you up, even as children, what part is that? That is obedience. Obedience. That is repentance. Repentance. That is to turn from one way, and that we are going now in another way. What does he say? Cease. And he says, learn to do. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. That is, he says, my law. What did the Lord Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. That is now the most essential part. If those sacrifices were missing, that would be bad enough. But what did Samuel say to Saul? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, he says, to obey, that is more than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Even prayer, we read it in our catechism, our fathers, they call prayer the chief part of thankfulness. Read something here. That the Lord, he refuses even to hear prayer without repentance. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. We heard yesterday afternoon that law of God that is explained where? From commandment to commandment, that law is explained in our catechism under the part of gratitude. Why? What is the Lord looking for in the life of his people? When he will deliver them, what is he delivering them from? Oh, he delivers them from the greatest evil, right, boys and girls? And what is the greatest evil? Sin. Sin. Thus, the Lord delivers his people from sin. What is he then looking for? He looks for a life of gratitude. He looks for a life of holiness. According to his word, according to his law, he looks for a new life. A new and a holy life. That is a life of sanctification. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That is all actually in the second table of the law. We heard that yesterday also read to us. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. That was missing in Israel. Instead, we can read that they have not relieved the oppressed, but that they were even themselves the oppressors. Oppressors of the fatherless, oppressors of the widow, oppressors of the poor, oppressors of the needy ones. But what can we read in the Bible? From Genesis to Revelation. That is the will of God revealed to men. What can we say? What can we say in just a few words that is? That the Lord is showing mercy unto wicked people, ungodly people. Mercy. Did you ever read that in the Word? It is congregation from the beginning to the end. That is mercy in and through His only begotten Son. And now He will have His children to follow Him in that way of mercy, to restore His own image in His people. And therefore He is so highly displeased with the oppression of the needy. Come now, He says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. That is something, isn't it? That the Lord, He says, come, and let us reason together. What can we not do with the animals, children? We cannot reason with the animals, right? Cannot speak to them and explain to them anything. No, they need to learn by a prick. They need to learn by a sharp hit. That is all. You cannot reason with them. How has the Lord made man? He has made man in His image. And God, He can reason. And man, as the image bearer of God, and then in an outward sense, part of that image that is still left, and that is the ability to reason, and even God, He can reason with man, and He is calling man to reason with Him. Come, let us speak together. Let us think about this. Let us reason together, and He says, I do not give any demands that are unreasonable. No, when you will rightly perceive them in your mind and in your conscience, then you will have to say that it is all very, very reasonable. Come, He says, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What does the Lord now say? He says, I have cared for you. I have nourished you. I have brought you up. I have disciplined you. I have treated you as my own children. And you rebelled. You did not see my blessings. You did not see the blessing of my chastisements. They didn't help because I had to bring you almost unto destruction. Your love for sin, your love for oppression. Oh, he says, your ingratitude. That is like a child that has rebelled from his parents. Oh, your ingratitude. That, he says, that reaches unto the heaven. That is worse than the beasts of the field. You should learn from the oxen. You should learn from the ass. O congregation, how is it with us? Must we say that we are any different? Can we say that we are any different than these children of Israel? And yet now, what does the Lord say to them? He says, come now. Come now. He says, I have made against you an accusation. The Lord was not finished with them there. Is that not a wonder? That he did not say, away with you. Away with you. But he says, come now. After that I have accused you. And now let us reason together. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I am ready to forgive you. I am ready to forgive your scarlet sins. That highest ingratitude. I am ready to forgive your sins that are red like crimson. Oh, come now, let us reason together, because I am ready to wash you. I am ready to cleanse you. So that you will be white as snow. So that you will be like the wool. I'm ready. But. He says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, he says, I am ready. Come now. Let us reason together. I am ready, but not if you will not turn. There will be no forgiveness outside of that way of repentance. No, he does not say repentance is the ground. Your repentance is the ground of your forgiveness. He does not say that. He does not say, if only you now are perfect and obedient. Does not say that. He says, if only you are willing and obedient. There is one ground. That is perfection. It is a perfect obedience. And that is in my Son. That I have received. But he says, now if I will receive you, then it is only through the way of turning. Only through that way of repentance. Therefore, Christ says, that I am come to call sinners to repent. It is congregation, Thanksgiving Day. How is it with us? The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. I think the application is not so difficult. I think you have done it already. Is it now better with us than it is with an ox or the ass? And do we need now to be sent by the Lord to these brute animals, that we may learn what thanksgiving is. It is good we are here on this Thanksgiving Day, that we may gather together, that we may lift up a prayer unto the Lord, and that we may come with our gift for the Lord. That is now all proper, but is the most essential element of gratitude missing? Because if that most essential part is missing, the rest, the Lord, he says, I am weary to bear it. It is abomination unto me. Oh, what is that gratitude? We find it in the words of a forgiven woman, the words of Christ to a woman that he has forgiven. What were they? He said, go and sin no more. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do teach us the fear of thee, that we may not have only words, that we may not have only form, but grant us truth in the inward part, and a life that may show our gratitude to thee, that we may walk according to thy holy law, and that we may serve thee, and that thy yoke that thou dost place upon us may be easy, and thy burden light. Be with us further in this day. Grant what is necessary in this afternoon hour for thy servant. Bring us up with faithfulness unto thy house once again. Give desire within to truly acknowledge thee. Open our eyes for thy goodness, and forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 442:2-7. It is not the right one, but I don't know which one it is supposed to be. But let's still sing Psalter 442, and we'll sing stanzas 4 and 5. God will himself confirm them with his blessing, and on the roll of nations he will count all these as born on Zion's holy mount. In many tongues, one God, one faith confessing. 4 and 5 of Psalter 442. Thank you. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.